Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show Sound Effect. Sound Effect host Jennifer Wing takes us into the woods with this next story.
For our last story on the show today, we go back to August of 2003. Four men, friends from different parts of the U.S., met at a trailhead in the North Cascades to spend a long weekend together camping in the backcountry. One of the guys in the group, George Wing, was getting married in a few days. To me. This was his bachelor outing. And on this trip, he lost a small plastic water bottle. He thought he'd never see it again. And just a heads up, this story goes into some things that might be a little inappropriate for young ears. So it was George Wing, his friend Mark, another George named George Wolf, and their friend Kermit. Yes, that is his real name.
It's true. His name is Kermit. And very shortly after that, the Muppets show was produced, and he was very annoyed because people made fun of him. And he wrote a letter, actually, to Jim Henson saying, "You ruined my life. People make fun of me." And Jim Henson sent him a mug. He still has the mug.
That's George Wing. And joining us on the phone from Los Angeles is another person from that 2003 bachelor trip, George Wolf. George Wolf has also known Kermit for a long time and says Kermit is a natural when it comes to pulling pranks.
He was always inclined to do something that kind of pushed the envelope of acceptability. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Well, he hired someone to mug you in New York City with a real gun. So that's a little extreme.
On my birthday. Yeah.
When this group went backpacking, they brought all of the necessities for such a trip. Tents, food, a first aid kit. But Kermit, he decided to shake things up a bit.
I mean, as you recall, it was supposed to be a very wholesome bachelor party, you know, no drugs, no strippers. And
right.
Then we set up our first camp and I hear music and there's this female leg protruding from Kermit's tent dancing in the air, but not really human, sort of too small and weirdly deformed. And that was my first glimpse of Claudine.
Claudine was a life-size, cheap, plastic inflatable sex doll. Her skin was the texture of a pool toy that you'd buy in the spring with the expectation that it would only last one summer. No one seems to remember why they named the doll Claudine, but that's who she became.
It was too much of a pain to deflate her for our hike the next day, so we just strapped her to my pack with her arms and very widespread.
You're piggybacking her.
Yes. With her like spread legs flopping in the breeze. And
I think we might have given her like a plaid shirt, or did I just imagine that or make that up?
No, that's ringing a bell. We might have, just for modesty's sake, put some clothes on her.
I mean, on the one hand, we have to say it wasn't, the spirit of it wasn't crude. I mean, okay, so she's a sex doll. But in everything that I could think of, whether we were at the lake or hiking or by the campfire or whatnot, she was just kind of one of the guys. She was hanging out, you know, around the campfire. We had to make sure not to get her too close because she would implode. Right.
So we were vaguely aware of having scandalized some other people who were camped at that lake, but we didn't pay too much attention to them. You went off on a long hike by yourself to some distant mountain, and mm-hmm. I became worried about you, knowing that you didn't have food or water with you and it was getting late in the day. So I took my little plastic water bottle and filled it with water and set off to find you, and I didn't find you. I went several miles up a trail, and I finally just put the bottle down in the middle of the trail with a note on it that said, "For George Wolf." And the only piece of paper I have is my wilderness hiking permit. So I used that. I went back to camp. You weren't there. Just as dusk was falling and we were playing in the lake with Claudine, you reappeared, a little bloody and scratched up from a completely different direction. And you were back, but you had not found the water bottle. And I figured I would never see it again. And you know, who cares? It's just a cheap plastic REI half-size Nalgene bottle, right?
The weekend continued under blue skies and warm summer breezes. Claudine was a faithful companion who served as a flotation device when the men were swimming naked in the Alpine Lake. Everyone made it out of the woods safe and sound. And then life got really busy. We got married, we moved house a few times, we had our kids, Lucy and Henry. 7 years quickly ticked by from that weekend in the woods with Claudine and the lost water bottle. Then one day, this small box from Japan landed on our front porch. it was addressed to George Wing.
And on the little Japanese customs slip, it said Prestick Bortole, spelled wrong. And I opened it up, and there was a water bottle, and I instantly knew it was that water bottle because the piece of paper that I had written on was my wilderness hiking permit. It didn't even have my address on it. It just had my name. And along with the bottle was this absolutely gorgeous letter written entirely in Japanese characters. And I couldn't understand a word of it, but my brain exploded. How did this happen?
Yeah. Why this water bottle in a box from Japan 7 years later? And the timing was interesting because we were about to send Lucy off to kindergarten to a public Japanese immersion school.
Which turned out to be useful because we found someone who could interpret the letter for us.
Yes.
I'm Riezeli. I teach second, third grade Japanese at John Stanford International School.
Rie is holding a black and white photocopy of this letter. The original is a beautiful watercolor painting with these delicate brushstrokes.
Oh, it's so artistic. Really, really, yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, so should I start?
Yeah.
George Wing 様、突然のお手紙、ごめんなさい。そして英語で書けず、ごめんなさい。I'm not going to talk about what was happening. What was happening? The very fun time you guys are having at the lake.
And that's when I understood. Oh, they saw us swimming naked in the lake with Claudine. I wouldn't have approached me either. Nope.
And also, this wasn't really the appropriate place for the two Japanese girls to go to. It's the party, I think she's saying. And so she somehow ended up bringing the bottle back to Japan. Then finally, she decided to use the internet to see if she could find the George Wing. And I hope you are the right person and this bottle will go back to the original owner. Sincerely, from Japan.
Who sent this package?
Karen Nakagawa. And she turns out to be a pretty amazing musician. She's one of the few people who can play the 25-string Koto Japanese harp.
This massive instrument. Yeah, it's huge.
And she sings. And so she's kind of a rock star in Europe.
When that package arrived at our house, and we opened it up, and we recognized this object that used to be in our life that we really didn't give a second thought to, right? When all of that was flooding through my brain and your brain, how did it make you feel about interactions that we have with people that we don't even know we're having? It made me trust people more.
I got a slightly different feeling from it was more like a little magic moment, and that was out there all those years and came back to me. So there may be other things in my life that come back to me, or that where the circle is finally closed way, way after you think it possibly could be.
Yeah, when you least expect it. We did eventually get in touch with Karen Nakagawa and sent her our own package. Inside was a thank you note and some really good chocolate from Seattle. The journey that small plastic water bottle took elevated its value in our home. It's now preciously guarded. It represents the moments of serendipity and magic floating around in this world. Since the bottle's return to Seattle, it's made lots of trips back into the deep woods. It's been filled with ripe blackberries and huckleberries, coffee, and of course, lots of water. Pretty soon the bottle is gonna head back to Japan. After 6 years of learning Japanese, our daughter, Lucy, is fairly conversant. She and her classmates are traveling to Japan for their school's big fifth grade trip. George is gonna be one of the chaperones, and that long-lived, well-traveled water bottle will be tucked away in his backpack. George and Lucy would love to meet up with Karen Nakagawa when they're in Japan, but it looks like Karen is going to be on tour with her harp.